My name is Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at Third at Pump Road. Glad to see all of you here this morning, especially on daylight savings time when all of us lost an hour of sleep last night. Well, maybe you didn't lose an hour of sleep, but I did. So I want to have a little exercise real quick for those of us who did lose a little sleep. Take a moment, just close your eyes. No, really, just close your eyes, Harry. Close your eyes. I'm serious. Close your eyes. We're going to try something here. Invite you, I'm just going to say a couple words, just free association. I'm going to say some words, and you all just speak out something that just comes to mind, maybe an image or some other sense that you have. So, daylight savings. Fiction. March Madness. Crazy basketball tournament. Spring break. Fun beach. Easter is coming up in a month. Think about Easter. What sights or smells do you think about? Chocolate? Eggs? Hot cross buns? What do you see? The cross? Pastels? Grandma's house? All right, what about the church? What do you see when I say church? Bricks? People, cross, love, brokenness. Go back to the people. You don't say this out loud, but just picture in your mind the people of the church. Just imagine the people of God. Think about who you're seeing there and what do they look like. Maybe what are they doing? Where are they? Imagine the people of God as the body of Christ that Nelson talked about last week. What do you see happening in the body there, the body of the people? How is it working together? I invite you to open your eyes now, and you might need to nudge Harry. Oh, he's awake. we're talking about what does it mean for us, the church, to be the body of Christ. And we're in the midst of a series called The Church in HD, in High Definition. And we're looking at biblical images of the church. And I think, just as someone called out, when we think of the church, sometimes we get the wrong image in mind. We think of bricks. We think of buildings, we think of a particular style of architecture, or there's all sorts of images that come to mind that maybe aren't the image that God has given us of the church. Now, when we also think of the body of people, I admit when I was thinking about this and doing this, I imagined a group of people, and frankly, they looked a lot like me. Maybe a couple older people, a couple younger people, but by and large, they kind of looked like me. And that's not the reality of the church. That's not what God intends for the body of Christ. And this is challenging to sort of historical views of the church. When I was growing up, I thought church was like a country club. And it was a place you'd go and you'd get to know people. And it was a place to see and be seen. And I'll never forget one Sunday going to church. And I was, you know, a young guy. And I remember seeing a red Ferrari parked outside the sanctuary. I remember that more vividly than I remember many sermons or many messages that I heard. And that was my experience. So church was a place where you'd go and you could make networking connections. You could meet people inside of your business. Maybe your boss went to church, and so you went to church because you wanted every little advantage you could just to, you know, get in with that boss, and you knew he went to church, so maybe you would go to church too. You would go there and you could, you know, work out a deal with people in your Sunday school class. You'd make sort of business connections. It was a country club, and you'd want to serve in leadership because maybe that would open a door for you to become a director on a board of a nonprofit, or maybe even become a leader in a for-profit organization. You would say, "Well, this is part of my professional resume. I was an elder at such and such church." And that was what church was in my mind for a while. It was a place to be and connect. But this is not at all what the body of Christ, as God intended it to be. So it raises this important question. What we were thinking in our mind earlier, I don't know exactly what you were thinking, and maybe these wrong images of the church, it asks the question, well, what is God's vision for the body of Christ? What is God's vision for the church? Well, we're going to look at this today. We're going to look at an image in the Bible about what the church is meant to look like. And last week, Nelson introduced us to the idea that the church is meant to be like a body. It has many parts all working together, and Christ is the head of the church. And Jesus gives direction and sort of vision and sort of leads us. And you know, Nelson had this great image last week. You can't imagine a body running around without a head. It wouldn't be very functional. It wouldn't last very long, for starters. So we need Christ, and everything we are as a body, we get our identity from the head. So we're going to look at a passage this morning from Paul's first letter to the church in Corinth. And Paul is addressing a situation in the church there. And he uses a description of the church as a body to address the situation. So we're going to see how this biblical image of the body of Christ gives us new clarity of how we are to see the church. And it's not a building, it's not a hierarchy, it's not a country club, it's not an elitist movement of insiders, but rather we're going to see how we're all called to work together to do the work that Christ has established for us. And like many instruments in an orchestra, we work together to produce beautiful music. So I invite you to turn in your Bibles, or you can follow along in your worship guide. And I just need to get my slide mover over here. Let's pray before we read this together. Father God, we pray that today you would give us your vision for the church, your vision for what does it mean to be your body? What does it mean for us to work together, for us to bring our different pieces of what we have to offer to the body of church? And like Nelson said to the kids, Lord, you have given all of us unique characteristics and abilities. And Lord, we can't make the church with one of us. We need all of us. So Lord, here, work through us now. Work through this as we read your word, Lord. May we be open to hear what you have to say to us. Speak to us through your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're reading from 1 Corinthians 12, verses 12 through 21. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they are all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. This is God's word for us today. So let's unpack this a little bit. We're going to walk through this passage and look at what the image is that God's given to us for the church. And I want us to start actually in verse 18. So maybe draw your eyes there. It's kind of in the middle, towards the end of this passage. We're going to look at something. We're going to look at a guiding principle for the body. It's that God's got a purpose for bringing us all together. And that purpose is going to it's going to address two situations, two misconceptions. One, that we think we don't have a place, but in fact we do. And the other misconception is that we think maybe other people don't have a place, when in fact they do. So let's take a look at verse 18 here. It says, but in fact God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. What does this say about God? It tells us that he has a purpose for the church. He places us together just as he desires them, just as he sort of envisions us. And there's strategic value for how he places us. You know, if your ears were on your legs, it would be kind of difficult to have a conversation. You kind of have to hold your ears up, your legs up, to have a conversation with somebody. Likewise, if your eyes were in your hands, you'd have to, like, hold your hands up everywhere you went, and you'd get maybe kind of tired of that. There's purpose and sort of design in how God has designed the body and how we as the church are designed to be together. God has strategically placed us together where we function most efficiently. Think about the places that you feel like your heart just soars. Think of the places, the things that you do where you just feel like, you know, this is my sweet spot. This is my, there's just something about this that is a lot easier. Some people say this is a lot of work. And so, you know, some people would be terrified to be up here speaking. And I'm like, well, no big deal for me. I enjoy it. I just seem to coast right along when I'm up here speaking. Think of your area, maybe where you feel like it's very easy for you to give. Or earlier in Paul's letters, he describes different gifts that God has given to all the parts of the body. Just like Nelson was saying, he's given each of us a different sort of colored bracelet. He's given each of us gifts. And you can go home and read that. It's earlier in Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12 there. We're not going to unpack all of those today. But these are more than just natural abilities or talents. It's those places where we contribute, where we feel that there's something beyond us helping us to do this. There's some sort of power that we've tapped into, and it's helping us, enabling us to do this. And like I said, I feel this when I'm preaching. I find that my sermons become much bigger than when I crafted them. The words I wrote on my computer suddenly get much larger and have much more importance through this sort of practice of speaking and preaching and sharing God's word together. God has placed us together so that our gifts work for the better. If you look at the Greek word for parts, it actually could mean several things. It could mean parts, but it could also mean a musical instrument or a melody, for instance. And it's like God is the divine orchestra, as Nelson was saying last week, and Jesus is the conductor. Each line of the melody has been arranged for all of us together to create a beautiful symphony, a beautiful music piece together. Now, too often the world views the church as a drone, at best boring, uninteresting, at worst irrelevant, or even annoying. Yet the church in high definition, the church is God's vision for it, the biblical church, we are a master symphony together delivering a rendition of such divine clarity and resonance that the whole world would come to know of its creator through the song. There's something beautiful about the things we do together. That's not what the world sees as annoying, a boring, or a drone. Something beautiful. While the horn or the flute may be beautiful on its own, it's all of us together that God has assembled for his purposes. Now, what is that purpose? As Nelson mentioned last week, the point is to bring glory to God. That's sort of primary. But there's actually some other purposes for us being together. You might say you could bring glory to God all on your own, all by yourself. You could, you could always point to Christ on your own. But there's a bigger reason when we get together and do it, we are able to glorify God much more through our collective efforts. And in his letter to the church in Ephesus, Paul writes this, put it up here on the screen with us. It says, "We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." And the key word is there, we will grow. God puts together the body together so that we would grow together. We would grow individually. That makes sense. Bodies are living things. They're organic. They grow. They develop. They mature. They develop new qualities or characteristics. They grow into something. You see, we grow together as a community and individually as the body. We grow in maturity in our faith. We become more like Christ, who is ahead. We are more able to give glory to God then, as we've grown and matured, than we were if we were simply, little infants. Now, there's another way to look at this. If left to our own and to our own devices, we are apt for failure and unlikely to grow. Jesus once compared the body to a vine and said that those who do not remain connected to the vine, and he's actually talking about himself as the vine, those branches wither. You disconnect it from the roots and everything, it withers. So too, if we disconnect ourselves from the body, we wither. Now, when I think of my friends who have disconnected themselves from the church, I see them floundering in the same way. I see them not growing. They're sort of, they're going back. It's like they've reverted to childhood ways, and I'm really sad for them. And that's not to say we won't experience hardships when we're attached to the church. We do. But I think the more we are more likely to grow as part of the church than we are apart from it. So God has a purpose for the body and invites us and encourages us to be part of the community. Reminds us that we're not meant to be alone in our faith, but connected with other members of the body. Now, this is good news on multiple fronts. Over the past few months, I've heard great things about what's going on in our missional fellowships particularly. We're trying specifically to grow deeper in our faith, connected in a smaller body of people. I've heard people talking about how they're growing because of that connection. It's wonderful news. It's good. You know, we're seeing this happen. We're seeing fruits. We're seeing evidence of that growth that is promised to us when we are connected to the church. It's also good news because we're, frankly, embarking on an entrepreneurial effort here. And there's a sense of pressure on Nelson and I, and we're the pastors, that we've got to build this church up. And it's not going to happen unless he and I are making it happen. Well, it's freeing to me to know that it is God bringing us together, and it is God growing the body. And that because of that, we can expect to grow. Not because Nelson and I are making it happen, but that God is working through this. When we recognize God's role and purpose in bringing the church together so that we would bring glory to God and that we would grow together, we're able to address two misconceptions of the church. The first misconception is that some of us think we have nothing to offer to the church. We have nothing to offer or contribute to the body. Now let's go back to verse 15 where Paul starts to talk about this. It says, "Now if the foot should say, 'Because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body,' it would for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body,' it would not for that reason stop being part of the body." Well, we might all think, well, I'm not a pastor, or I'm not spiritual enough. Whatever sort of reason we think in our mind why, maybe we shouldn't be connected to a church, or maybe we have nothing to contribute. It's not true. Just like every part of our body has a purpose and contributes to sort of our body fully functioning, so too together each of us has something to contribute. God has given each of us unique gifts and abilities to contribute to the effort of the church, to being and growing as the body together. And too often in the church, we get this image that the pastor is more important than others in the body. And in a sense, the world forces this like institutionalized view on us. There are professional Christians, pastors, chaplains, missionaries, and then there's a sense that there's the rest of us. We can't outsource all the roles of the body to just professionals. But instead, we are all equally important and equally necessary. The only thing that differentiates Nelson and I from the rest of you is that we've given our entire lives over to serving the church. It's the only difference. We've been given a specific part, but it requires all of us together to be the body of the church, all of us together. Nelson and I can't do the church on our own. Praise God for that. Consider verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? If the whole body was just Nelson and I, that would be a catastrophe. We need each other and the different gifts, the different things that each of us bring together." Well, this idea also helps us recognize that we're not called to be simply consumers of church. And this is one of the biggest threats to the body of Christ, that our world has turned church into yet another form of entertainment. All right, the reflection on your front of your worship guide is taken from another part of Ephesians. Take a look. It says, "From Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." There's nothing about consuming there. It's about all of us working together to be the church. And friends, we all have something to contribute to the body. I want to encourage you to think about maybe what that is that you have to contribute. And Nelson and I are happy to work with you and think through how you might be able to contribute to the church. We all need to work together to allow God to grow the body. So the first misconception is that some feel they don't have anything to contribute. There isn't a place for them. The second misconception, I'll tell you, this is the harder of the two, really, is that as a body, we think that there is not a place for some people. We think maybe we don't need particular people or we don't need particular parts. Well, again, our vision of the church is different from God's vision. Look at verse 19 through 21. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. In high school, I played trumpet, and we trumpet players used to think that, you know, you didn't really need the rest of the band. You didn't need flutes, you didn't need clarinets, you didn't need cellos. If you just had a lovely trumpet section, you'd get along just fine, and that's all the beautiful music. After all, the trumpet was God's preferred instrument anyways. The Bible says so. So we thought, no, well, it's the trumpet, I promise you. We didn't need the rest of the band to sound wonderful and marvelous. Well, we've already established that as we each have a place in the body of Christ, what about that one person you can't stand? What about that one, you know, or that one group of people that you're just like, man, you know, I really don't want them to be a part of this church. Or I really don't think, you know, they need to be a part of this. We don't need them. Well, surely, you know, you think in your mind, surely God doesn't have to include them in this body. Maybe they can go be in a part of another body, and I don't have to work with them, or I don't have to be around them, or I don't have to, you know, work together. You know, we're all doing, yeah, you're pointing to your brother back there. I see that. Well, I've got a word for you, Brother Reese. If we take this mindset, we might as well say, if the church only looked just like me, we'd grow a lot better. That's a lie. Far too often, the church ends up being like a club of insiders, and we end up looking and acting like one particular body part. But if that's the case, are we not just bringing glory to ourselves and not working together to bring glory to God? We all need to work together for these purposes. And if we were all just a hand, the body is not going to grow. If we were all just a foot, the body would not grow. It needs a heart, it needs a lung, a stomach, and a kidney or two. Now, don't get me wrong, we have to realize that our sinful nature breaks into the church sometimes, and sometimes it can feel like the body really is working against itself, and sin creeps into our relationships, and there are real hurts between people in the church, and those hurts need to be addressed by the body, by the community. We can't just work them out on our own. Those hurts are real. We all experience disappointment in the church. But the only way we're going to work them out is working them out as the body together. Because we'll find that the body has more strength when we're all connected to one another. Now, the other side is this, is that we tend to limit certain members of the body in their participation. We say, oh, well, you know, we don't need them. And I'm thinking particularly of our teens and some of our kids. We tend to think that, oh, you know, what do the kids have to contribute to being the body? You know, they're little, you know, maybe they don't have anything to offer. The teens are... You know, we don't know what they think. I can't figure out what they, you know, what they're going through. What do they have to offer to me? Well, they have a unique place in our body, and they are actually uniquely crafted to contribute something unique to the body. And when we limit their participation because we don't think they can contribute anything, we are hampering the body's ability to grow. Remember, God brings us all together so that we might grow. And I am committed to helping our students grow in their faith because I see it as an important aspect of my own growth. I say, well, you know, if I want to grow, I got to help them grow because we're all part of this body together and we all got to grow together, so I got to help them grow. I also want them to experience church and the body of Christ so that one day they might feel like they really do belong to this body. This is something that they own. This is something they can be a part of, that they would take ownership in what they are able to contribute. Hey, guys, I'm talking to you guys back there on the little comfy couch. They're all still asleep. So, teens, we say to you, we need you. Mike, I need you, buddy. There's a place here for you. You are a part of the body just like any one of us, and you have something to offer. We need you. We say the same thing for our children. We need them. What would it be like if our kids and our teens served communion one Sunday? I mean, that's, you know, we need them. Before I close, I want to address one last thing, and maybe this is something that some of you are feeling today. There may be some of you who feel like you've got nothing to contribute to the body of Christ because you feel like you don't belong. And maybe you're looking around the room and wondering, I'm not a part of this community. How do I fit in? Maybe you're just checking out church, or you're trying to figure it out, and you're saying, you're wondering to yourself, how, you know, Dave, I don't have anything to contribute because I'm not a part of this body. How might we become a part of this body? So I want to invite you to consider becoming a part and discovering what it is that maybe God is bringing you here and what purpose God has for you in this body. If we take a look back to verse 13, So I have to skip ahead here, maybe. Oops. Well, maybe I didn't put it up there. Oh, go back to verse 13 in your passage. It says this, "For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink." And here Paul is talking about a baptism in the Spirit. We know from other places in Scripture that the Holy Spirit was promised to those who have faith, to those who believe and follow Jesus. Peter, once a follower of Jesus, said this, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." There it is. Repent and be baptized. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We believe that repentance and baptism are signs of faith. So it is through faith in the Holy Spirit that we are grafted into the body of Christ. Where we were once not a part of the body, we are now included into the body for God's purposes. So this morning I invite you to consider faith. Consider how God might be calling you to be a part of the body. Those of you who are a part of the body, consider how God might be using you to help grow this body. There are plenty of us here who are interested and willing and want to help you consider both faith or consider what your gifts might be and help you walk through those things. Feel free to talk to Nelson and I or anybody. Just ask somebody. They look like they know what they're doing. They'll be able to direct you. We want to walk alongside all of us. We want to work together as the body to discover our places and discover what we have to offer. For all of us, Paul ends with this, "Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Find your place and help us grow." Let's pray together. Father God, we glorify you. And Lord, as we see our place in the body, and we see how the body is called to work together, we see that you have purposed it so that we would grow. So Lord, we expect us to grow. We expect us to grow in maturity of our faith. We expect that more people will be grafted to this body because, Lord, that's the purpose that you have set out for it. So Lord, we just give ourselves to you, to the body today. Lord, help us to see where we do have a part and help us to include those that we don't want to have a part. Lord, convict us in these ways. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.